Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 28. And stand with me, if you would, while you turn. Hebrews 11 and verse 28. Verse 28 through verse 31. It says, through faith he kept the Passover. That's Moses. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians is saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Brother David Morrison, would you pray for us tonight?
Heavenly Father, we thank you that the Word of God is pure, simple, easy to be understood if we're going to read it. And ask for your leadership. So I pray tonight as the pastor brings this message, our hearts will be prepared. We'll receive whatever is put there for us that the Holy Spirit sees fit for us to get. And we'll thank you for whatever you do. For Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Boy, faith that changes the world is the title of the message. And truly, Moses' faith and what God did through Moses really changed the world at that time. You think about Moses, and you know the story, just from a little child, he was really, from a human standpoint, he was doomed to die. And that was Pharaoh's decree that every male child was to be put to death. And those midwives protected those little ones. His parents hid him and put him in that little ark there in the river. And, of course, Pharaoh's daughter came upon him, and he grew up in Pharaoh's household. When he came of age, roughly 40 years of age, he'd rather endure affliction with the people of God than endure the pleasure of sin for a season, the Scripture tells us. And through some foolish choices along with that, he ended up on the backside of the desert. And there on the backside of the desert where he was for about another 40 years, then the Lord called him at that burning bush. I think of how in Exodus chapter 4, Moses would make the statement when the Lord called him. He said, I'm not eloquent and I am slow of speech, when he argued with the Lord a little bit about his call. And the Lord said to him, Have not I made man's mouth? He said, I'll be with thee and I'll teach thee the words that thou shalt say. And he would step out by faith and he would follow the Lord's command and show up before Pharaoh and say, God has said, let my people go. And when he asked who said it, he said, I am hath said it. He said it both to Pharaoh and to the people. And you know the story as it unfolds. There is a man that has been on the backside of the desert who stands before one of the world leaders of his day and says to let his people go. And slowly, through a course of plagues, God eventually does bring his people out of Egypt, as he had promised 400 years earlier that he would bring them out. It's an amazing story. And when you think about the story, truly, Egypt was a world power at the time. And God would use Moses and the plagues to bring Egypt to its knees. And it truly changed the face of the world at that time. One man's faith and his willingness to follow God, it changed the course of the world. I think of Acts chapter 17, verses 2 through 6. It says, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them in the three Sabbath days, reasoned them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. In the Old Testament, you see a story of a political world turns upside down. In the New Testament, you see a world turned upside down for Christ. That God would take a man named Paul, who had been Saul, who had been on the road persecuting the church, even into strange cities, and would turn him around into a missionary who would go from city to city establishing churches. And even the world would make this statement about him: they've turned the world upside down. There was no doubt that the world had been turned upside down for the cause of Christ. And in this passage of Scripture, we see a faith that changes the world. Whether it's the world of an individual, for sure. I think of the day that you came to know Christ, your whole world was changed. Whether it's a world around us. And I want to look at just some of these things that come about from this type of faith. The first thing you see here is faith salvation. Look at verse 28. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Through faith he kept the Passover. I think here it is. You know, the last of the plagues, God came, and one last time, God was sending one last plague that would bring his people out. And he said, I'm going to send the death angel throughout Egypt. And he said, here is the order. Take the lamb, spread the blood over the doorposts, and when I see the blood, the angel would say, I will pass over thee. No blood, no salvation. The firstborn would die. The death angel swept throughout, if you will, throughout the land of Egypt, and every firstborn in the house of an Egyptian where the blood was not spread, the child died. Where the blood was at, there was the God spared that child and that firstborn. That Old Testament Passover is a picture of what we celebrate in the New Testament Lord's Supper. On April the 2nd, we'll be celebrating that. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26 says this, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this is the cup in the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. You see the reason for the Passover. The reason for the Passover. Here are the scripture verses in Exodus chapter 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Hebrews 9 and verse 22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with the blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. I'm going to grab one of these handheld here, guys. I'm going to grab the yellow mic. Stand still, all right? Here it is. You see in this passage of Scripture, you see the reason for the Passover. There was an Old Testament picture of the New Testament truth of salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Egypt, a picture of the world, of a Christian. In the old, Egypt was a picture, a New Testament, we see a type of the world, someone who's lost and in bondage, a slave to sin, and no hope but slavery, and ultimately death, and yet God would send deliverance for his people, and he'd do that deliverance through the shedding of blood, and he would command that Passover would be kept from year to year to year. Our Lord Jesus Christ would celebrate the last of the commanded Passovers, but the first of the Lord's Supper. We continue that first ordinance. The Lord said, upon this rock, I will build my what? Church. And he gave us the two ordinances of the church. That first one in his baptism. And we follow the Lord. We make that statement behind that plastic. Ceilings are being repaired. There's a baptistry. We follow the Lord in believers' baptism. It's a wonderful picture. God also gave us that second ordinance of the Lord's Supper, that last supper he had with his disciples. And it was an incredible picture of the necessity of blood being shed for sin. Well, there was a saving faith. They had to have the faith to, if you will, obey the Lord and follow his command. And I think of the day that we came to put our saving faith in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a time sometimes when people try to minimize the need for the blood. But boy, the blood is an absolute necessity for the forgiveness of sin. Lord Jesus Christ was that picture. Was that perfect final Passover lamb, if you will. If you go to Exodus, if you were to read it later, you could read about some of the requirements for that lamb that was to be slain. And our Savior was the perfect Lamb of God, a sinless sacrifice for his people, once for all. It's a world-changing faith that brings a person to putting his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the reason for it. We see the requirement of it. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 4, the Lord would say this, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. It was a commanded feast. It was a commanded to be done year after year after year. Verse 28, it says this, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them.
You know, they were to either keep it and follow the command, or the one who would take the firstborn would visit their house. Think about it for a moment. In other words, if you didn't go out there and get the lamb as God had said it was to be done, the lamb, that way, that the exact way that God told it, take that lamb and put that blood over the doorpost of your home, you died. It had been the blood of an ox, you died. If it was the blood of a pig, you died. If it was grape juice spread over or some other something else over the doorpost, you died. There was only one way that night in Egypt to escape the death angel, and that was the way that God had given it, the blood sacrifice. Reminds me of John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by what? Me. There is one way. There is one way to the throne. There is one way to God's mercy. There's no end around. There's no other way around it. It is but by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, if you try to add something to it, you're in trouble. I'm thankful for the ordinance of baptism. It's a wonderful picture of God's saving grace. But friend, if you're counting on baptism to save you, you're in big trouble. If you're counting on some work of the flesh, you're in big trouble. If you're counting on anything other than the perfect blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in trouble. It is God's way or no way. Cain tried it his way. He tried his fruits and vegetables, and God said, I don't want fruits and vegetables. I'm going to take a blood sacrifice. That is the only acceptable sacrifice. Saving faith. I think of the day that I came to gain a saving faith. And friend, it is by trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see an example here in Moses that here he was, and he led, and by faith they followed the Lord's command. Just do exactly what he said, the way that he said it. It is the only way of deliverance. And when it comes to salvation, it is by salvation, by grace, through faith, and that is it, and that is the only way. It's a changing faith. Do you remember when you trusted Christ? Simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, nothing has changed. Simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a saving faith. Romans 5, 1 through 2. I love these verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have peace with God. We see faith's deliverance. Look at verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do or drowned. Here it is, the people of God, they Passover happens, and the firstborn of Egypt's house, of everyone in the houses, their child died. And finally, Pharaoh's heart broke, and he said, go, just get out of here. And matter of fact, take the spoils of the people. And they left with the spoils of the people. And here it is, the people are on their way out. They're headed through the wilderness. They come headed towards the Red Sea, and there's Pharaoh. I picture Pharaoh sitting on his throne, and all of a sudden, his heart begins to harden again. The ruler of Egypt, a world power at the time, had been brought to his knees by a whole bunch of slaves, and his mind begins to change, his heart begins to harden, and he gets all of his armies and said, they're going to die in the wilderness. They will die in the wilderness. He marches after the people of God, and their backs are there against the Red Sea, and you know the story. As their backs are against the Red Sea, the people begin to murmur and said, what did you do, bring us out here to die? And Moses, pretty much almost alone, right? He calmed their hearts and went with God, and God parted the Red Sea, and they walked through on dry land. I picture the people of Egypt, the armies of Egypt, see the people of Israel go through on dry land, and they think, well, if they could do it, we can do it. And so they would follow through on dry land. But I tell you what, it is only by faith, man. You're lost people, they can't go where only God leads his people. Pharaoh and his people pursued them, and there they died in the Red Sea, and God delivered his people. There's a tremendous picture in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4. God likens it to baptism. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in a cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. God gives an illustration of deliverance, of baptism through the Red Sea. And there's the picture of salvation, that someone is lost and they're in bondage in Egypt, that those people of Israel, they were in bondage, they were slaves, they were doomed under the slavery, and yet they would be delivered by way of blood, and they would follow it through, if you will, almost a type of baptism through the Red Sea, and they would find their deliverance through the Lord. Here it is. I think of what we have. Baptism is a picture of our deliverance. Romans chapter 6, 1 through 3 says this: What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Romans 6, 6 through 7, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. We've been delivered from sin. Do you know what happened for the people of Israel that were in bondage in Egypt? They were, if you will, the blood came through and it gave them their way out. They came through and they were delivered from Pharaoh and his armies at the Red Sea. And at salvation, we not only gained the hope of heaven, but we gained a deliverance from sin. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin continue any longer therein? Sin has lost its complete hold on the Christian. Hey, that old net, behold, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That sin nature is dead. You know, before salvation, you had no hope but sin. Sin had its grip, and sin had its hold. But at salvation, we gain deliverance from sin. And I'll tell you what, it's a deliverance that only God can provide. God led his people through, but a lost people and the Egyptians tried to follow through and they died. For there is a deliverance from sin that only God provides. Hey, the day that I came to know Christ, not only did I gain the hope of heaven, but I gained deliverance from sin. Sin is not something I have to do. Sin is something I choose to do. For the Christian, sin has lost its hold. When we do wrong, look in the mirror. Because the reality is, sin has lost its hold on us. Hey, God said, I've delivered you from it. And there's a tremendous illustration of a deliverance from sin. I think of this, the faith that changes the world. See, the world would look and they would see a people of Israel that have been slaves and now find deliverance. Can I tell you what begins to change the world's mind? When they watch someone who was a slave to sin become free from sin. And there is no other explanation but Christ. But Christ. It was changing, and you see, they were delivered from sin. They were delivered to sanctification. That same chapter, that wonderful chapter on the picture of what we have, baptism, and the picture of what Christ has done for us. In Romans 6, 4 through 5, it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Romans 6, 9 through 11, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, not only free from sin, not only what I have been saved from, but what I have been saved to. A life of sanctification, a life of living for the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, if we're not careful too many times as Christians, we are too caught up with what we're trying to keep away from than what we have been set aside to. I like the picture of the baptism when it says, in obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection to do what? To walk in newness of life. Our life is changed to live for him. We're no longer bound to sin. We're no longer bound to this world. We're no longer in its bondage and forced to live a certain way. No, friend, we have been set free. We have been set free. A freedom that only Christ can give. You know, this world, it tries to give behavior change. And you know why? Because that's all it has. I remember one time I went to, had someone who was struggling back in Indy. They were struggling with some addictions issues and things of that nature. And by court order, they had to go to a secular addictions program. And so my wife and I think she was with me. We went down to this addictions program, and there was someone who was going to speak in there. And this person was, when I came in, they were outside, and they were just smoking one cigarette after another cigarette after another cigarette. We went inside, and they gave their testimony of how God had, or not God, they gave testimony of how they had gained victory over this addiction they had in their life, this drug addiction. And then as soon as they were done, they rushed out to go smoke another cigarette, another cigarette, another cigarette. And, you know, because all this world could offer was to trade in one for another. But you know what God does? He completely changes a man. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I think of Pharaoh's army. They tried to cross through the Red Sea, but friend, the problem was they didn't have God. And so they drowned. I'm going to tell you, there are places that only faith walks. There are places only faith walks. And God in his word, there's a world-changing faith that begins with a faith for salvation and then a faith for deliverance. I am so thankful that the day of salvation, not only did I gain heaven, but I gained deliverance. Sin loses its hold. The sins of life, they are dead to us, and the key is to choose the Lord. Not to walk in the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit. This I say then. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. The wonderful word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. We see faith's salvation. We see faith's deliverance. We see faith's victory. Look at verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Here it is. They come out of Egypt. You know the story there. They wandered 40 years in the wilderness because some of them chose not to trust. They had seen God do all of that work to deliver them from slavery. They had gained God's deliverance, passed through the Jordan River. And here it is. Another generation comes and the Jordan River parts and they cross into the promised land. A picture of the Christian life. Well, I've seen it as a picture of heaven. I don't necessarily mind that as a picture, but the reality is there's no battles in glory. There are battles in the Christian life. And as soon as they cross over the Jordan River, there's Jericho. There's Jericho. What a city. Hey, matter of fact, that next one is there was an insurmountable obstacle. And it wasn't just an insurmountable obstacle to the people of Israel, but it would have been to any army. These were no small walls. This was no small city. As soon as they crossed into it, there it was. Can I tell you something, Christian? You ever been in the business, in the process of the Christian life, and you see your Jericho right in front of you? There is your Jericho. Saved. Set free from sin, delivered to walk in newness of life, and you set out on course, boom, there's Jericho. The people of Israel called out, delivered, crossed over Jericho. An insurmountable obstacle. Hey, human reasoning was insufficient. I picture folks trying to dig their way under, climb their way over, starve them out, all of those different things. But human reasoning just wasn't going to do it, was it? I think of the scripture when the Lord says this to us in 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you hear that? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Can I tell you something? When we come against our Jericho in life, human reasoning will be insufficient for victory. God was going to have to do a supernatural work to give them a victory that day. You ever come up to one of those battles where you know it doesn't matter how much you reason, how much you logic, your logic works, no matter how much you plan, it is going to be insufficient. Can I tell you something? In the Christian life, if you try to live by logic, you'll never walk by faith. Some battles are only won by the supernatural work of God. I think of sin in our life. I tell you something, Christian, you want to get victory over it? It will be done by a supernatural work of the Lord. There was an insurmountable obstacle in front of them. It's sad for the Christian who gets saved by the wonderful grace of God and then tries to live a humanistic life. Sometimes we try to live the Christian life differently than when we were saved. I'm going to tell you something. The Christian life is lived no differently than the way you were saved. We were saved by grace through what? Faith. I tell you something, Christian. We live by grace through faith. We live the same way we were saved. We put our faith and walk in obedience to God, and we experience the wonderful grace of God at work in our life. We call it faith promise giving when it comes to missions, and probably another good title would be it grace giving, right? Because God lays a number on your heart to give, and by faith you give it, and then God's grace works in your life to enable you to continue to do so through the year. It's a by grace through faith. The Christian life is meant to be lived that way. I think of this, we see an insurmountable obstacle, we see an insuppressible faith. Look at. I think I put the verses on your outline, Joshua 1 and verse 5. Here is the recipe they received to gain victory in Jericho. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. And on the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and then ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people will shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Talk about an illogical method. But you know, the method really was kind of beside the point. You know what the method was for them? A complete faith and obedience to the word of the Lord. That's what it was. God, they came to Jericho. Joshua overlooks it. The Lord confronts him and says, this is what I want you to do. And you know what they did? They did exactly what God said to do. They marched the way God said to march, once a day. 7 times in the final day, the ram's horn sounded, and they shouted, and the walls fell down. It was faith and obedience to the word of God. God said it, they believed it and obeyed it, and God gave the victory. You know, victory still comes that way in the Christian life. God says it, we believe it and obey it, and God gives victory. You know, the problem is we're always looking for something shinier and some better way to win the victory. And God says, I put it all down for you. I wrote it down. Just simply walk in obedience to my word and completely trust my word, and victory is yours. It was just simply that. I've seen people talk about, you know, that many people stomping their feet and marching and what it could have done, and I think that's all. Has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it. It's like saying, you know, what's the story about the little boy, and he was reading the story of the people of Israel crossing through the Red Sea, and the man coming. You don't really believe that story, do you? He goes, really, they passed through at the shallow part. It was only ankle deep. That's how they passed through. The boy looks up and he goes, wow, what a miracle. All of Pharaoh's army drowned in ankle deep water, right? Some people try to explain away the miracles of God. But the miracle of God is simply this. God said it, we believe it and obey it, and God works. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I can tell you this. If you have a problem, find the answer in God's word. If you have a problem, find the answer in God's word. When you find the answer, believe it and obey it, and victory is there. If you try to find the shiny way around it, keep looking. You'll find some shiny things, but they aren't there for victory. They're there for distraction. You know, Christian, they found that victory. I think of this. You know what? What changes both our world and the world around us is when a Christian has the faith for salvation, a faith that brings deliverance, and a faith that brings victory. Lastly, we see this. We see faith's reach. Look at this story here in verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. You know the story. Rahab the harlot is in Jericho, and Joshua sends out those two spies, and they go into Jericho, and Rahab the harlot hides them while the soldiers from Jericho come looking for them and lowers them down by that scarlet line, and they escape. Let me read some of the words we see about this reach of faith. Rahab heard of God's promise. She said this to those spies that were there in Joshua 2:9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Rahab had heard of God's promise. Joshua 2:9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. You know something that Rahab knew when those spies came? She had heard the promise of God. The reach of faith. That here they are. They had found deliverance from Egypt. They had gained that, if you will, that saving, that deliverance, that victory. And now here the world, if you will, in Jericho, those inhabitants of Jericho, they trembled in fear. And Rahab knew this. She knew the promises that God had given her, the land. I think of that. You know, the Christian, you know what one of our jobs is to do is to make sure of? That the world hears the promise of salvation. That the world hears and knows the promise of salvation. That is the call of the church, of the Christian. I think of things like a spring campaign or the personal witness of the Christian. What is our job? To make sure they hear the promise. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For the wages of sin is death, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire, which is the second death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Does the world know the promise? Rahab heard the promise. Rahab heard the promise. Man, there they are, looking from Jericho over Jordan. And they tremble in fear because they knew the promise of God. I would say this, my prayer and my desire is that when some lost person sits on the edge of eternity, that they know the promise because of some church off 14th Avenue. They know the promise. And not just some church, some Christian. Some Christian. Who knows the promise? Because of your life. Who is hearing the promise? Because of your witness. This woman, she had heard the promise, but not only that did she hear the promise, but Rahab heard of God's power. Joshua 2:9 says, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land shall faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. She says this, I have heard the promise, and I have seen your testimony. I have heard the promise, and I have seen your testimony. I've heard how God has promised you the land, and I have heard about Sihon and Og. I've heard about Egypt and the Red Sea, and I've seen the Jordan rivers part. I've seen that God has given you salvation, deliverance, and victory. You know what turns the world upside down? When they hear the promise and they see the testimony. They hear the promise and they see the testimony. Is it any wonder that the devil wants to squelch our testimony? Because, friend, if people hear the promise but don't see the change, they don't believe the promise. Friend, if they had heard the promise, but they died up there with their backs up against the Red Sea, or they didn't get water out of the rock or manna from heaven, or Sion Nog wiped them out, or those flood waters of the Jordan River never parted, who cares about the promise? See, she had heard the promise, and she saw their testimony. Can I tell you something, Christian? Never underestimate the power of a godly testimony and a delivered promise. Oh, the devil's trying to ruin our testimonies, leave them in the mud, get us to give up on living different for the Lord, and trying to just shape us and conform us into the image of the world. And why does a lost person want what we've got if our life is the same as theirs? Why? We say we got a promise, but we've demonstrated no deliverance. And what good is the promise if there's no deliverance or victory? The testimony here is Rahab. She had heard the promise. She had heard of God's power. And as a result of that, Rahab believed in God's person. Joshua 2, 11 through 13. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Then this statement she makes. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you this kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that I have, and deliver our lives from death. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She heard the promise, she saw the power, and she believed in God's person. I tell you something, Christian, we are meant to deliver the promise and demonstrate God's power, and it brings about a people that says, I want what they have. Rahab. Here she is. Aren't you thankful, Rahab? Rahab was a Gentile, friend. Rahab's a picture of the whole reason we're in this family of God. And yeah, you can't see yourself in Abraham much. Can't see yourself in the Jew much. We fit in the Rahabs and the Ruths of Scripture. We fit in those God's wonderful grace at work in our life. Here it is, Christian. Here is a faith that changes the world, if you will. There's a man named Moses who believed. There's a people that believe and practiced, if you will, the Passover, a picture of salvation. Found deliverance through the Red Sea. Found victory at Jericho. And here's some lost person sitting on the walls. And she said, I want what they've got. I want what they have got. Friend, the world needs to be able to look at us and say, I have heard the promise. And I have seen God's power. So I'm going to believe in his person. I have heard the promise. And I have seen God's power. Don't let this old devil fool you into believing that you got to be just like the world to reach the world. And I'm not talking about being purposefully weird, all right? But being different. By letting the world see a life that has been changed. I have been saved. I have been delivered. I have gained victory. And they turn around and they hear the promises of God's word and they see the work of God in our life and they say, I want what they've got. And it changes their world. So what happened there in the Old Testament? It's what was happening in the New Testament. Oh, Paul, named Saul. On the road to Damascus, he would say in Acts, later in Acts, he was going unto the strangest of cities, finding Christians, men and women, imprisoning them, witnessing against them, and delivering them unto death. And then one day, God faced him down on the Damascus Road. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, isn't it? God saved him, God changed him, and put him going on to strange cities with the gospel of Jesus Christ in his hand. And when he showed up, folks would get saved. They would hear the promise. They would see God's power. And they would believe in God's person. And these are those that turned the world upside down. If you will be those that turn someone's world upside down for Christ, it will be because you bear the promise. You demonstrate God's power. Because of that, someone believes on God's person. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I love you and I thank you so much for the scripture. I